So, as he said, my name is Andrew, and Melissa is actually my sister, and my dad is, he'll be speaking in the next service, but I'll open, just kind of tell you a little bit about myself. We live now in a pastor's home. Our dad is the pastor of our church, and we live in Maryland. Maryland is the capital of the U.S., and we live about 45 minutes from the capital. And so we've lived there for 8 years now. And so my dad became the pastor of the church, what was it, 2016. Yeah, that my dad became the pastor of the church. But before that, we grew up in church since I was a baby. Mom and dad were bringing me to church. And so my dad he was an assistant pastor in the church. And so we grew up, we would help in the church, and just like I'm sure some of you guys do. She helps around and just helping the church in different ways. And as far as cleaning, or we would help like pass out tracts or whatever. And so I got saved. I'll just give you my salvation testimony too. I got saved when I was 5 years old. We had a missions conference, and we actually had missionaries come in from, I can't remember exactly the different countries that they were from, but there's one lady speaking, and she was talking about heaven and hell. And I remember that I really wanted to go to heaven, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. So when we got home that night, every night our family has devotions before we go to bed. And so I asked my dad, how can I become saved? Because I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell. So all the rest of the kids went to sleep, and he took me into the dining room, and he just opened the Bible and showed me how I was a sinner, I was born a sinner, and how I had to ask God to come into my heart in order to save me. And I had to acknowledge that I was a sinner, and then repent of my sin, and then ask God to save me. And then so it was actually March 28th of 2008. It was actually at 1 o'clock in the morning. I asked God to come into my heart and save me. And I remember just running into, after I got saved, I remember running. I was in the dining room, and I ran into my mom's room, and I was so excited. And I like told her about it. And I was like, Mom, I just got saved. And it was amazing. And now that I'd love to be able to share that with others. And so there's just a little bit about me. We already opened with prayer, so we'll actually get right into it. Today, I would like to talk about our adversary, the devil. If you want to open into your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8, that is going to be our text verse. And I just want to talk a little bit about our adversary, the devil, and his the temptations. So once we get there, we're going to read that in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We'll go ahead and read that one more time. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So let's bring your part right here. It says, what does the word adversary mean? I mean, maybe we don't know. It's a kind of big word. So according to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, adversary means an enemy or foe, or one who is at enmity at heart. So when I think of an adversary, let's think of sports. You know, when you're on one team and the other team is against you, that's your adversary. And you're trying to, obviously you're trying to win. Or if you're someone you disagree with. Like, if me and Melissa were thinking two different things, that Melissa said that it's really hot in here, but I said it's really cold in here, then we're now adversaries because we're going against each other. So in that verse here, we see that the devil is our adversary, because obviously the devil doesn't want for us to do right and us to have a good life. So for our first point, we see the allurement. So we know the devil is going to tempt us in all that we do. Throughout our life, in everything we do, the devil's going to want us to trip us up, because he doesn't want what's good for us. He wants us to not be to obey God. He wants us to just us to have a miserable life. The devil wants nothing to do, he does not want us to have a good life at all. So he's going to try and tempt us to make us trip up. And God tells us in Luke 22, 40 and verse 6, and 46. I actually have a lot of Bible verses. You won't have to turn to all of them because we're going to turn a lot, but you're welcome to. So in Luke 22, verses 40 and also verse 46, he's talking to his disciples when they kept falling asleep. And he says, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And here he's saying, enter into temptation of the falling asleep. And he's asking him here to pray for him as he's going and talking to the Lord. Then later he also says, in verse 46 of Luke 22, he says, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." So we see here that God is telling us we're going to be tempted. And then we also see that if we fall into temptation, it will destroy us. We know that when we sin, when you sin and you know you've sinned, what happens? You feel guilty. Like, I know I messed up. See, I messed up again. And you might think, at first, we can use that explanation of disobeying your parents. Your parents give you something to do. Like, let's say, your parents are like, "Hey, I want your room clean, and then when I get back, I want it to be clean." So, when your parents get back, and your room isn't clean, then you've sinned against your parents and against God, because you didn't clean your room. But it says here in 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And so the Bible's saying here that when we fall into temptation, it's gonna hurt, and it's gonna destroy. It says destruction and perdition. It's going to destroy our life. You see people who have their whole life, they lived in sin, and they've been out in the world doing drugs or drinking, and out in the world doing all of the world's sin. What do they normally look like? Do they look happy? Not normally. They normally look kind of miserable. And you can tell that's kind of like what their lifestyle is. And so we see it destroys us. On the inside, you know how I was talking about that being guilty? And if you, let's say, you sin and you feel guilty about it, what happens if you don't get it right? You just keep feeling more guilty and more guilty and more guilty about it. And it starts to eat you up, and it starts to destroy you, and then you can't even think. If you did hate something from your parents, then every time you see them, you're kind of hoping they don't figure it out, right? You're like, "I did this, and I don't want them to know about it." So even though, like, you might be able to say and talk to them and be like, "Hey, Dad, how's it going?" Whatever. In the back of your mind, every time you talk to your dad or your mom, you're thinking about that thing that you did against them that you don't want them to find out. So until you get that right and tell them and ask them to forgive you, then it's still going to eat you up inside. And so that's what it's saying here. If we fall into temptation, it's going to destroy us. We also see the devil is going to tempt us in many different ways. So for our first way the devil will tempt us is through our pride. We all have pride. I mean, if you don't have pride, then you're not human. I mean, everyone likes to think about themselves and think, "I'm a pretty good person," or "I know what I'm doing up here." And actually, when I was growing up, this was actually a big thing for me, was my pride. And I was a very prideful person. And I didn't like it when everyone thought that they were better than me, I was very prideful. And so the devil knows that. So he's going to say, we know that pride is when you think you're better than someone else, basically. And so let's say I think I'm a better singer than Steven is. And so, "Steven, your trash is singing. You can go sit down," or whatever. But that's not nice to say. Or there's other things that maybe, because of pride, where let's say you're playing sports. You know, sometimes you really get, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very competitive when it comes to sports or games and anything. So sometimes you really get into the game, you're running back and forth, and somebody does something, they foul you or everything, and then you can get mad and you say something. And you're like, "Oh, I shouldn't have said that." But the reason why we said that is because of our pride. Because we didn't want to lose. And we thought that we justify ourselves. We're like, "He did this to me. No, it was okay. I did it because he did it to me. He started it." But we know the devil's going to tempt us to do that, because we're prideful human beings. But if we put that under and humble ourselves before the Lord, then we can work, and that'll help us to be able to say no to the temptation of pride. The next one is through our wants. Obviously, the devil's not going to tempt you with something you don't want. Let's say there's some really good-looking food right over there that I don't know what your guys' favorite food is, but say your favorite food is right over there, and then your least favorite food is right over here. Someone can tempt you as all they want with that. They can be like, go eat it. Look, it looks so good. It's just, you know, it's hot, it's savory, it's all this. But you're like, no, I don't want that. It's not appetizing to me. But then they tell you you can have that. And you're like, yes, you're running over there to get it. And so the devil is only going to tempt you with your wants. And he knows he's going to tempt you with everything that you're interested in. And he knows all your weaknesses. And he's going to exploit them. And so let's say for Stephen, his weakness is, we'll go back to pride. Let's say his weakness is he's a prideful person. Then the devil's going to tempt him there more than he tempts, let's say, you. Let's say you are a very humble person. So the devil's not going to try and tempt you with pride as much as he'll try and tempt him with pride, because that's Stephen's problem. Not Stephen's a very humble person, but I'm not saying that. But just for an example. And so in every different ways, you know, there's more than one way, and it's and weaknesses. Like for one of my weaknesses, the devil probably want to tempt me in leisure and like my free time and what I'm doing in my free time, instead of maybe where I should be spending more time on the Bible or doing other things. Maybe I'll spend my time doing other things that aren't worthwhile, like playing games or watching shows or different things on my phone. And to where that would be one, the devil's like, okay, yeah, you can do this instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so he's going to always exploit your weaknesses. So there, for our second point, we see the acknowledgement. So the only way that you're going to be able to help your sin is if you acknowledge that you are a sinner. Because it's just like if we go back to the example of Stephen being prideful. Stephen's going to be able to work on not being prideful is if he admits that he is prideful. If he doesn't admit it, he's like, no, I'm not a prideful person. What are you guys talking about? No. Then how is he going to work on it? Because he isn't going to see it in himself. So if we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge we are sinners, then we can start to work on overcoming that sin. And we know in 1 John 1:9, God says that he will forgive us if we ask him. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's such a beautiful verse. And to know that no matter when we sin, it doesn't matter that we know we're going to sin. We're sinners. We're human. We have a flesh, and the devil's going to tempt us. And we're not going to be able to say no every single time. The devil's going to, we're going to sin. But every single time, it doesn't matter what we've done, God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. It doesn't matter. You know, I've heard the story of some people, you go to witness to them, and they're like, no, I've done so many wrong things that God can't forgive me for what I've done. But it says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how many things you piled up and sin you piled up in your heart against God, he will still forgive you. And he'll still want to restore that relationship with him. And so we need to also realize that we are born sinners. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we know that we're born sinners. You know, even like a baby, you might think like, oh, they're not sinning. But you know, they know what they're doing. When they're crying, they're supposed to be quiet. They know they're crying because they want what there once. They're like, no, I don't want to be sitting in my crib. I want to be held by mom, so I'm going to cry. And so they know they're sinners. And how many times do you have to sin to be a sinner? Just once, right? You just have to lie one time to be a liar. Or steal one thing to be a thief. It doesn't matter. You can say, I haven't stole anything in like 10 years. But it doesn't make you not a thief anymore, because you still stole that one thing back then. And so we're all... And going back to the point there, we have to realize we are born sinners. And then also, the next thing we want to realize is that we can't hide our sin. In Proverbs 28:13, he says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that's it kind of goes with the end of that verse, goes back with our 1 John 1:9, and saying that who confesses and forsaketh it, God will give a mercy. God will have mercy upon it. But we know, you might think, I can do this and no one will find out. Maybe no one else knows about it. You say, I was able to do this, whatever, I was going to take this, or maybe watch this, something I shouldn't be watching, or listen, do this thing that, you know, in my heart, I know God wouldn't be happy with. But no one else knows about it, so it's okay. But, you know, God knows. And the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And it doesn't matter how long we try and hide our sin, we know in our head that we're still trying to hide it. We know we messed up, and we're still, and it's still going to eat, like I was talking about earlier, it's going to eat us up inside. And it says here, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper in my life. You know, I want to be successful. I want to be happy. I want God to bless me. But saying, and here, if we cover our sins, God will not bless us. We will not prosper. So we need to confess and forsake that sin, and God will have mercy upon us. And then so lastly, we see the abstaining. And so it's how can we stay away from temptation? And the best way, because the devil, like I was saying, the devil's going to tempt us. He always is. Doesn't matter what we do. We could read our Bible every day. We could be listening to sermons all the time. But it doesn't matter. The devil's still going to tempt us. So how do we stay away from that? We see God tells us in 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So we see if we want to stay away from temptation, we need to have a close relationship with God. Because, you know, in the morning, why you have devotions in the morning? It's for one, so we can have a close walk with God. But two, is so that throughout the day, the devil's going to tempt you with something, and God will bring a verse that you read that morning. He'll bring it to mind and be like, hey, remember this? You read this morning. Remember what that was about? And you're like, oh yeah, I shouldn't do this, because God wrote it in the Bible. And you've got to bring that to mind. You'll be able to say, no, devil, I'm not going to say yes to that temptation, because I want to honor God with my life, and I want to do what's right. So if we have that close walk with God, we'll be able to do that. But if we're not, we don't have our devotions, and we're like, oh, I don't even have my devotions today. I don't need to pray for this or whatever. You just keep pushing it off. Now I'm getting farther and farther away from God. And you know what it says? Is we're building a wall in between. Just like if I put this in front of me, it's a little harder for you guys to hear what I'm saying, because there's a wall. If I walked outside, I could yell, and you guys could hear me outside. But it would be kind of hard to understand what I'm saying, right? So it's just like that. When we sin, we're building a wall up in between us and God. And the only way to remove that wall is if we ask God to forgive us. When we ask God to forgive us for our sins, the wall's broken down. And it's just like I walk back inside, or I take that away, and you guys can hear me again. And so when we have that relationship, that close relationship, then God can help us. It's just like if one of you guys saw me, if I was about to cut myself or something, or I was about to trip or something, you're going to be like, hey, wait, don't do that yet. Or this is going to happen. And you guys can see that. But if I was outside and there's a wall between us and I was about to do something, you guys couldn't see. So there's no way you could help me to do it. So the same thing is with our relationship with God. If we want God to be able to help us and tell us, wait, no, don't do that, and God to help us fight against the devil, then we have to have that close relationship with him. It says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we see here, God saying, if we are walking in the Spirit, then we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God's going to help us. God's going to be able to say, hey, remember this? You don't have to fall into this temptation. You can say no to the devil. You have his strength. Because in our own flesh, we're not going to be able to say no. The devil's going to, like I said, the devil's going to tempt us with our weakness. And the thing that's really, we can really try, and we'll try and be like, okay, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But you know what's going to happen? In a couple hours or tomorrow, the devil's going to come back. Hey, remember this? You should do this. You should do this. In that same exact spot, you just said no. And then you can say no again. You're like, oh, okay. I did it. I said no again. I got away from the temptation. But he's going to keep knocking at you. And it's just like if you tap somewhere, like on your body, you keep tapping in the same spot, maybe this doesn't hurt right now. But if you keep doing that for like 3 hours, you know, you're going to have like a bruise. And it's going to hurt. And it's just like that. The devil's going to keep coming. You might be able to say no at first, but the devil's going to keep pushing, keep knocking at your door, keep pushing at that one spot until you fall. And so the only way we're going to be able to keep that guard up and keep that strength and know and be able to push the devil away is if we are walking in the Spirit, like it says in Galatians. If we are close to God, He will help us when temptation comes our way. There's so many times that, you know, you will be tempted and God will bring that verse to your mind. And with that verse, you'll be able to say no. If you didn't have that verse, then you might fall. But God will bring that verse and it will help you to be strong. The last thing that I wanted to talk about is in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So there's two things with this. The first part I would like to talk about is just, you know, it says, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's another verse in the Bible. And so let's say I haven't been told I'm not supposed to do this, but I know that I'm not supposed to go over there and eat some of that without asking. But I'm going to do it anyway. Then I'm sinning. But it's also the other way around. Let's say, I know I'm supposed to be getting ready to teach for you guys. I know I'm supposed to be witnessing. I know I'm supposed to be reading my Bible. And I know that God wants me to do these right things. If we aren't doing those right things, then to us it is sin. That's what it's saying here. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so if we're not doing this, sinning is not just doing something bad. It is also not doing something that we know we should be doing. And so doing that. But then this, going back to abstaining from all appearance of evil. You know, there's some things that might not be bad. But it might, if someone looked and saw you, they're like, wait. Like, let's say there's a bar. And Stephen walked into the bar. Maybe he's not even going into to drink or anything. Maybe he's just going in there. He's really thirsty. He needs some water. But is that really the smartest place to be going in and getting some water? No. Because there's the appearance of evil. Let's say I'm walking by and I see Stephen walk into it. Then I'm going to question, why is Stephen going into a bar? Like, he shouldn't be doing that. And it's just like the other thing. Our youth pastor, he used to, there's this root beer. It's called IBC root beer. And it looks, if you aren't reading it, it looks like a beer, a glass of beer, a bottle of beer. And then so for him, he thought one time he had it in his car, and one of his friends walked by and he saw it, and he actually asked him, he was like, are you drinking? So from then on, he didn't actually drink that anymore because he said, well, if it appears that way, then I don't want to be doing it. And I mean, there's some extremes, and like my grandpa, he actually wouldn't, when he would eat a sucker, he wouldn't actually keep the sucker in his mouth because he would worry that people would think that he was smoking. And so he's just trying to abstain from the appearance of evil. And so there's some things that, like I was saying, that might not be wrong, but if someone saw me doing this, is there a possibility that they might think, oh, why are they doing that? And so that's just one step ahead of staying away from sin. So in conclusion, today, we talked about three things. The allurement, the acknowledgement, and abstaining. So we talked about the allurement, knowing that the devil's going to tempt us, no matter what. He's going to come into our life, he's going to tempt us, and he's going to try to trip us up. And then we talked about the acknowledgement. The only way we're going to be able to say no to those temptations is if we acknowledge that we do have those sins and we are tempted and that the devil is trying to trip us up. So if we acknowledge that, then we can start to abstain from that temptation. And how do we abstain from it? We abstain by having a close walk with God and asking God to forgive us, to break down the walls that are so we can continue that close walk with God. In our Christian life, Satan is always going to be looking for different ways he can tempt us. But we need to make sure we have our guard up and are ready for those attacks. Because, like I said, they're going to be coming all the time. But by having our emotions and praying throughout the day and having a close walk with God, then we can be able to say no to those temptations. Let's go ahead and close on the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this, the opportunity we had to just learn more about you. And I pray that you would give us the strength and courage to say no to the temptations that the devil's going to send us our way. And also to give us the strength to have the close walk with you and to come to you when we have sinned and ask you to forgive us so we can restore that relationship with you. I pray that you would just give us the courage as we're and the strength to be able to say no to the temptations, God, that Satan is going to send our way. And I just thank you for the opportunity we have to be here and to learn about you and just the facility that you provide for us. And also thank you for the opportunity that me and my family and also the Glovers have to be here. And I just pray that this was an encouragement to your people and that they will be able to use this in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so I will just translate sa Tagalog yung mga points ni Brother Andrew. So meron siyang tatlong bagay.